Everybody, thank you for tuning in this weekend to Nevada Backcountry. We've got a special guest, Hunter Morai. Hunter, you've got a sister named Aspen, a brother named Sage, right?
Correct.
Yeah, with names like that, you guys, it's a family of killers. As your social media pages would attest to, it seems like every time I hop on there, man, there's something big on the ground. Either your sister, you, your brother, or your dad, too. I forgot to bring up Charlie.
Yeah, they've put some pretty nice stuff on the ground. Beautiful antelope, desert bighorn sheep, elk, deer.
Just about everything.
Just about everything.
There's some cat pictures in there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Hunter, tell me a little bit about how you got started. You're out in Fallon, correct?
Yep, we're out here in Fallon. My dad's bow hunted for many, many years, and, just came by it kind of naturally. I would say we were always hunting when we were younger, but we had, we were all in sports coming up through high school. So it was never, the top priority. It was more like when we had time to go, we took advantage of it. And then as we got older, I went to Reno for college, and one of my buddies was running the archery shop at Shields. So he kind of enlisted me to come over and be a bow tech at Shields. And that kind of got my foot back into archery a little bit more seriously and, just kind of immersed into the Nevada Bow Hunter Association a little bit more than we had in the past. And, once I graduated, I bounced around a little bit and landed back in Fallon, and things just kind of started growing, as you can imagine. A lot of people down here, we don't have the archery resources like you do in Reno. So a lot of people started coming to me for help with their bow equipment, and kind of naturally grew into this shop that I run out of the house. And things have exploded from there.
What'd you go to college for?
I'm a civil engineer.
Okay, so now is the Ace in the Hole Archery, the name of the shop, is that your full-time gig, or are you a civil engineer 9 to 5?
No, I still do my civil engineering job 9 to 5, and then the archery shop's just on the afternoons and on the weekends.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I was out there for the river,
River Animal Madness, yeah.
Yeah, that was a heck of a shoot.
Yep.
In fact, my kids, they almost made it all the way through, but 7 and 9.
They crushed it, though, man. They made it to, I think they cleared, 23 targets 20, or something?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then they left you and I to go solo for the rest.
Yeah, yeah. I've been out there to some of your shoots, the indoor one as well at that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The
new arena?
Yeah.
That is fantastic place. That was a great, great shoot. You guys did just an absolutely fantastic job on that shoot.
Fallon Bowman is the name of the organization out there. Is that it?
The club?
Yep. So that's the Fallon Club.
Okay.
And kind of separate from the shop, I'm the president of that. Run the two shoots. We do indoor shooting during the winter, kind of as a Vegas prep for a couple people down here and the club members. And then it's kind of separate, but because I run both of them, a lot of people have an impression that they're kind of conjoined. Which one's a nonprofit? One's my business.
Right. Okay. So now let's talk a little bit about this year. Did you draw anything?
Yep. I had a deer tag, same tag as my sister, actually. And then, sister and dad. And then I still got a cow tag that opens up here in a couple weeks.
Okay. How'd the deer hunt go?
Yeah, it went good. It was one of the better deer hunts I've had. I was being a little bit picky. My sister killed a really good buck first thing in the morning, opening morning. I wasn't there for that, but I showed up that night, and we had, 6 tags in camp and killed 5 bucks.
Oh, nice.
I was the only one that didn't kill, just because I was being a little bit picky this year. But I got on a couple really good bucks, had a couple really good stalks, and just could never seal the deal. So all in all, I can't complain.
What unit was that in?
7.
Oh, okay. Okay. Were you guys hunting the wilderness up there?
No. We were on the other side of the highway. Kind of 076 was the unit we were in.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, don't give away grid coordinates or anything like that. But I always like to ask people. Now, for a guy, you grew up out there in Fallon. What do you think about the sheep in the Stillwaters right now?
The Stillwaters is a really, really physical hunt. I think there's a lot of people that underestimate that mountain. I got to watch my brother. He had the one of the first archery sheep tags in that unit, the same year that Dave had his sheep tag. And my brother is one of the better hunters I know. And it was a physical hunt. It was tough, but it is, you get to see a lot of sheep. You get to see a lot of quality sheep. I know they've had a little bit of a downfall the last few years, but if somebody's willing to work, man, they could kill some really good sheep in there.
Would that be your choice for a first pick unit for bighorns?
For archery or for anything?
For anything.
I'm going to say no, just because it wasn't. I always put in for one of those units down south that's producing some giant rams.
Right.
I really, really like Fairview. Fairview Sand Springs, you know, just south of Stillwater. Really, really good unit. The same year that my brother killed his sheep, I killed a sheep in 205. I really like that unit. That's a really fun hunt. And to be honest, I think it's one of the better units in the northern portion of the state right now, just because there's a lot of, you know, 4 or 5 year old rams that are really coming on, and you get to see a lot of sheep. You get to look over a lot of sheep while you're hunting. Those two units and Desatoyas, I've never hunted it, but they've been having some really good rumors out of there. They've been seeing a lot of sheep. Those sheep are coming back.
Yeah.
So all these states in Churchill County, or all these units in Churchill County right now are just really, really good units.
Hang on one sec. You've drawn a sheep tag. How old are you?
I'm 28 right now. I'll be 29 in a couple days.
So I drew it in 2001.
So I was 26 or 27. I can't even remember.
So he'll.
Okay. Yeah. Man, that's awesome.
And I had more points than he is old.
Yeah, I was about to say my dad drew California up in 068, California Bighorn at 68. So,
wow.
Man, I am envious. And that was, I'm assuming you put in every single year starting at the age of 12.
Yeah, my dad put us all in for everything we could possibly afford from the time we were 12 till, you know, we were old enough to start putting in for ourselves. And in 2021, it was really kind of a crazy deal. I think we had a better chance of hitting the lottery, if I'm being honest, because my brother drew an archery-only sheep tag. Me and my dad drew sheep tags in bordering units the general rifle season. He killed his with his rifle, and then I ended up hitting one with a bow. And just due to circumstances and kind of the time of day, I decided to just go ahead and call it and kill him with a rifle. And then I call him my adopted brother. He's not adopted, but he's basically lived with us since high school. And his name is Dalton Frank. He drew the Rocky Mountain sheep tag that same year and killed a phenomenal ram over at Mount Wheeler. So 2021 was pretty unreal for us.
So your family had 4 sheep tags in 2021.
Yeah, 4 sheep tags, one of which was being the Rocky.
We might want to edit that out because he may have a mob.
Yeah, for real. So I've heard Dalton's name. Didn't he kill like a 170, 180 something?
Yeah, 174.
Yeah. Okay. I've heard his name before. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the scarcity of those tags. It's such a rare tag that I think word gets around pretty quick when a 174-inch Rocky hits the dirt.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was pretty surreal. When you all draw sheep tags, it's a pretty cool feeling. But when push comes to shove, it's a little bit stressful. You know, trying to kill 4 sheep tags in the matter of 2 month stretch it's fun, but at the same time, in the back of your head, you're like, we don't want anybody to burn a tag here. And thankfully, you know, my brother and Dalton, they started their own guide business, Unbranded Outfitters.
Thanks to Out West Buildings for sponsoring the show today. Let's hop right back into it. Were they doing the sub-guide thing?
Yep. Dalton sub-guided for 3 years and Sage sub-guided for 2 years. Which is 2's the minimum you need to start your own outfitting business. You guys have both met them. They're super personal people.
Oh, yeah.
So some of these clients they're getting, you know, they really like how their attitude. They really like how they hunt. So they're already getting repeat clients, and it's their first year from just other jobs they've had. And, And they've already got a clientele that really like hunting with them, and that's only grown this year. So I'm excited to see where it goes because they've already booked out on our rifle elk hunt. And then right now they're kind of their slow time just because they were guiding the gov tag and they killed early. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens over the next couple of years for them.
Yeah, and plus you've got yourself an entrenched guide service for all of your own.
Yeah, I tell Sage it's a little bit of give and take. You know, I take care of all their bows, and I make sure that they are shooting straight before they leave. And I say it with a little bit of a lightness in my voice, but I like to take credit for them shooting as good as they do. I'm pretty avid about shooting. I try to shoot pretty much every day, and it's kind of elevated their levels. But likewise for them, they've been competitive with me, which makes me a better shot. They let me work on all their bows, and then on the flip side, he comes and helps me kill deer. So I can't complain too much. And then you've got my dad, who's been a butcher for his whole life. So we get taken care of on that end too.
Oh, geez, you got the entire, you got the trifecta going on there.
I'll use a cliched one-stop shop for killing things.
Exactly, yeah, it's the great barter system.
Is there a specific area of the state they focus on, or they'll go anywhere?
They'll pretty much go anywhere and hunt anything. They live in Ely during the winter, or during the hunting season. So a lot of their hunts, they're booking in Ely or around Ely. But they've got hunts booked from Churchill County across the state, and they're pretty much mobile to go anywhere.
Maybe I might finally shoot a cow elk.
Oh, your arch nemesis.
Yeah, my arch four tags. Yeah. I still don't have it. I might have to get a hold of Sage, get him to
help you out.
Help me
That's
out.
That's such like, a goofy. Actually. Of all the animals, a cow
weird?
Elk.
Yeah, yeah, I need a guide for a cow elk.
Joke about it, but he booked a cow elk hunter for September 25th this year, and it's a rifle hunt. So there are people that are booking for it. And
is it an out-of-stater?
No, it's a Vegas guy.
Oh, just about the same.
Out of state.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm going to have to get a hold of him when I get my next cow tag. I'm serious, man.
What's on the horizon for the shop, for the Fallon Bowman? You guys have an extremely active, or I should say extremely involved club out there. What's coming up new for you guys?
Well, for the shop, you know, I'm just trying to grow my clientele there. This year was, you know, from about June through July, I was pretty well redlined. I was recruiting my brother to fletch arrows for me, and I'm trying to balance that out a little bit. I got some things in the works as far as like a few classes that I want to do. I did one earlier this year for the Walker River Bowman. I want to expand into that. One of my biggest pet peeves is when people tell me they're getting ready to go deer hunting and they're, you know, buying arrows a week before they leave and they haven't shot their bow and they don't have any idea where their broadheads are hitting, and it irks me. So that's a big driver for mine. I want to do a couple courses for broadhead tuning, you know, getting prepared for a hunt, because a lot of people overlook it. And then on the Fallon Bowman side of things, main focus is just growing the club. We got some stuff working with the county. The county's got a bunch of money from the government for this land swap they did with the Navy. So we're trying to work in building a facility here with some grant money. And I've talked to Dave about this a little bit. You know, grow the involvement of people at the local shoots. We've got a big archery base in Nevada, and you just aren't seeing those same archers at some of these events.
Right.
So trying to grow that and come up with new and interesting ways to get people out to some of these shoots. Just try new things, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the archery world right now. There's more archers than there's ever been, and, you know, just see some of these people get involved, because I don't know how many people I talk into coming to some of these local events here in Fallon, and they get done and they go, that was one of the coolest things they've ever done. You know, they thoroughly enjoy it. If they've got families, they get to enjoy it with their families. It's just the archer community as a whole is a pretty cool community. You get to meet some pretty awesome people. So just staying immersed in that and seeing these events kind of take off would be super cool.
Do they have a NASP program out there in Churchill County?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There's quite a few schools there that participate in the NASP shoot down in Vegas, as well as the local competition to eventually go down to Vegas. So
Hunter in Washoe County here, it's cannot have archery in the schools. I mean, we are
the only county in the state.
Yeah, we're Los Angeles East now. I mean, it's weird.
But then, that's unfortunate. I think Church of County was actually one of the first NAS programs in the northern part of the state.
It was.
And
very cool.
It was super cool. You know, we had a kind of it was my freshman year of high school was the first year we did it. And we had a couple, take that back, maybe I was in middle school, but nevertheless, we had a couple people that were, their families are hunters, they've shot a bow before, and then you have people that show up that had just heard about the program that just come and shoot, and, you know, kind of don't know what they're missing out on. And I have yet to meet somebody that shot a bow that didn't like it after they figured out what they were doing. So getting the kids shooting, I think, is really, really awesome. And that NAS program, those kids get to go down there and shoot at state, and then they get to watch all these professional archers the next day, you know, come in and shoot. And I think it's one of the cooler experiences as far as, you know, watching people that you look up to is shooting a bow. You don't get that same experience in other sports.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. It's really, really cool.
It is. And just seeing a bunch of people carry bows around casinos in Vegas and fill up the arenas and conference rooms with bows, it's something you don't see very many places. So it's a cool experience.
So Hunter, why don't you plug the social media again? You know, I'll make sure we push this stuff on our page as well, but go ahead, plug the social media stuff. Where do people find you online?
Yeah. So my archery page is just under Ace in the Hole Archery. I kind of keep people updated on what's going on with shop there. I've got some kind of instructional and informational stuff in the works that I want to start pushing kind of as the hunt season dies down. Then my personal page is HMRI_03. A lot of it is kind of the same content, you know, just trying to show people their options as far as archery equipment goes. And there's a lot of people that like the customization, you know, as far as your equipment goes and stuff like that, which is kind of cool, you know. But I encourage people to come to me that want to go through their equipment with a fine-tooth comb, that really want to dial in their shooting. There's a lot that could be done just from tweaking your tune a little bit that people don't understand. And I'd like to educate. You know, every time I have somebody over, it's just not just me working on their bows. I try my best to teach them what I'm doing, so that if they ever get in a bind, you know, maybe you can't do it totally on your own, but you got a pretty good idea of what's going on. And if you need to get on YouTube, you can learn real quick or stuff like that. So,
yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you, Hunter. Thanks for coming on, taking the time to chat with us.
Yeah, thanks, Hunter.
Yeah, thank you guys for bringing me on. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Yeah.
Don't forget, if you miss a segment of the show, you can go to the podcast tab at 991fmtalk.com. Or if you're an Apple user, go to the podcast app and search for Nevada Backcountry.
That was this year, but at the time they were guiding, so they had the time off. They basically lived on the mountain the entire time.
Nevada Backcountry will be right back on 99.1 and Lyon County's 92.3 FM Talk. Thanks to Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight, for sponsoring the show today. Let's hop right back into it. What's your species? If you could draw any tag you wanted, what would it be?
I can't get away from the elk, personally. And up until the last couple of years, I haven't had much elk experience. I killed an elk in 2014. Again, I drew that tag fairly young. You know, my brother started guiding, got on some really good hunts. Last year, we backpacked into the wilderness in 16, had just an unreal hunt. So hunt elk in September is hard to get away from.
Elk. Yeah, that's. I think that's the first time we've had somebody say elk on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've usually had antelope, Newberg. Randy Newberg's an antelope guy.
Yeah. Most of the rest have all been sheep.
Yeah, everybody, sheep or mule deer.
Mule deer.
Burnett.
Yeah. Tim Burnett was mule deer.
He's a mule deer guy.
Yeah.
Now, have you hunted out of state for elk?
Nope. I actually just started building points this year for a couple other states. Haven't really done much, probably enough research to really know much about it or branch out, but it's definitely in the works.
Yeah, now, no over-the-counter stuff like Colorado, any of that?
Nope.
Doesn't appeal to you or just haven't had the time?
Oh, it definitely appeals to me. I guess I have the kind of the mentality that Nevada usually, our whole family's willing to hunt some of these lesser desirable units for deer. So generally, we have deer tags in Nevada every year because we're putting in for some easier draws. So in my personal kind of opinion is if I'm going to travel to one of these other states, I would rather wait a couple years and draw a tag that would be a little bit better of a hunt. And I'm not talking necessarily trophy-wise or antler size, but more so I want to go over there and I want to see animals and I want to have a lot of opportunity rather than going over and buying an over-counter that, you know, you're kind of going to learn on the fly and you're probably going to compete with a lot of other people for the same animals. So I'd rather wait a few years, draw something that I think is going to be worth the trip and try it out.
Yeah, it's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah, definitely. Is your brother, your two brothers, their guide service, is that kind of under the Aces in the Hole kind of social media platform?
Nope. So they have their own Instagram. It's under Unbranded Outfitters. There's three of them involved, my two brothers and then one of their buddies. And, you know, they've got some other guys that are helping them out.
Oh, okay.
And I would say we kind of market for each other. He sends me a lot of bow clients and anybody that's looking for a guide, I send his way. So this is the first year that they've been on their own. They're having a stellar year so far. You know, he got to spend a lot of time scouting for my sister, and watching that go down was pretty surreal. Killed her a great bull. And then he's killed a couple clients, some really good bulls so far. And he actually was just partnered up with another outfitter, and they killed the gov tag a couple days ago.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, that bull, that Aspen shot, that is an exceptional bull.
Yeah, there was it was pretty impressive to watch it all go down. You know, they weren't quite fired up, ready to go. There was some bugling going on. Actually, when they killed her bull, there was a 6-point, another really good bull below him that was working her way. The bull she killed just wasn't too fired up yet. So it was more or less a spot and stock effort. And her and my brother were together for the whole thing. Her boyfriend was right behind them. And then we had a crew watching it all go down and could see everything. And I won't spoil it too much. I'll let her speak to that when we get a chance. But it was really awesome. You know, you don't see many 21-year-old girls out there getting it done like that. And it was pretty awesome.
That's one thing we're trying to do. We want to get a couple female hunters on here to kind of talk about their hunts and their experiences and stuff. So we're really looking forward to getting Aspen on here and talking to her. So let's talk a little bit about your shop. What are some of the bows that you're carrying?
So right now I'm actually, because of, I don't have a brick and mortar. Most bow manufacturers won't let me sell bows. So I am in with Black Eagle and Darton. So I can sell Dartons. But as you can imagine, there's not a huge Darton market out here. So what I've been doing is I have a really good relationship with the guys over at Hunting House. And so I'll send guys there and they'll buy a bow or they'll purchase it. They'll just send them a credit card and I'll pick it up for them. And then I can do everything else for them. You know, I kind of pride myself on, and I don't want to throw shade at any other shops. Hunting House, I think, is awesome. Those guys do a great, great job. But, you know, I pride myself on trying to do spend a little bit more one-on-one time as if you were to go to Shields or Sportsman's Warehouse, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'll sell them all the accessories. I got a big market for custom arrows. I'm letting people customize arrows, and we put pretty much any quote or phrase you want on there. Some are appropriate, some are not so appropriate. Yeah, I really enjoy, you know, building a bow from the ground up, but also getting to work with people. I actually had a guy this year. They're actually the ones that bought one of the bows at our fundraiser dinner we had at the Fallon shoot. And he drew an elk tag, first archery hunt he's ever been on.
Oh, geez.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, he's super eager to learn. So we got going right after the Fallon shoot. I set his bow up. I got it all tuned. And, you know, we went through pretty slow. We went through the paces of learning how to shoot. And within 10 arrows, he had Robin Hooded an arrow at 20 yards. Which is doesn't happen often, but it's really cool when it does happen, especially for somebody that new.
Yeah.
Just working with people, it's a pretty cool experience when you get to do little tweaks here and there, and people's group tighten up pretty dramatically, and they're looking at you like you're, you know, some sort of mastermind, when really there's just not a bunch of knowledge out there that people are getting access to.
So are you planning on eventually doing brick and mortar, or are you pretty much comfortable with the setup you got right now for the time being?
Funny enough, I actually just made a phone call last week about some retail space here in town. So as soon as the right opportunity presents itself, I'll jump. The commercial space in Fallon, as you can imagine, isn't super open. You know, it's not as accessible as other towns. So just trying to find the right location here and somewhere that isn't going to cost me an arm and a leg, and try to make something go out here. Right now, I'm really focused on the bows. I am selling Swarovski optics. That'll be the main driver right now. And then as soon as I get the opportunity, I think I'll jump.
Nice. Oh, that'll be really cool. So where in Fallon right now can shooters go and shoot, say, indoor leagues or something?
We have a temporary place that's open half the year. So, well, less than half the year. We, with the Fallon Bowman, open, it's called the Dry Gulch. It's a little old brick building that's right next to the fairgrounds, the outdoor arena and the new indoor arena. We move in our bales in there at the end of November, and then we move out at the end of March.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And we do a three-spot league on Thursday nights, and then a 3D league on Sundays. Yeah, it just gives people opportunity to kind of, you know, shake the cobwebs off and get ready for Vegas if they're going to that.
Yeah,
and do something while it's cold outside.
That's really cool you guys are doing that. That's nice. We're working on trying to find some places here in Reno so that we can have some leagues.
If you think Fallon is bad, man, space in Reno is, they're pretty proud of it.
Too much.
Yeah.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Too much.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
What do you shoot personally? Talk me through your bow setup that you ran this year.
So for hunting, I'm running the Matthews V3X. The 33-inch, I can't get away from it. I had an opportunity to buy a Bowtech SS-34 earlier this year, just kind of a deal I couldn't pass up. And
great bow.
I set them both up, and I just kept going back to my Matthews, and it's given me really good results. I'm constantly tinkering with stuff. You know, when I don't have to work on a client's bow, I'm constantly tweaking stuff on my target bow or working on my stuff on my hunting bow. I really like trying to figure out the next thing that might work for somebody else. So I'm running the Excel Landslide 5-pin slider. I've got a Hamsky rest, V-Stinger stabilizer for a sidebar, and then I'm actually running the Quivalizer. Running a little bit different than most people, just because it's how it worked for me.
How do you like the Quivalizer? I've seen those. It seems like they're popping up more and more at shoots. And I mean, it makes sense in theory, but yeah, what do you think? I mean, obviously you're running it, so you like it.
There's so many opinions on them out there. I just kind of had to ignore what everybody was saying and just try it. Last year I ran a sidebar, 15-inch front bar, the Quiver. It shot good, but it's just heavy, you know, and it's just, you get tired of lugging it around the mountain. So I just decided to try the Quivalizer out. I actually cut about 4 inches off of the carbon tube, shortened it up a little bit, and I've really been happy with it. I don't take it off like some people do. I leave it on. And I run the arrows. Most people are running the arrows on the what would be their bow hand side. And it's kind of weird how you have to knock an arrow coming from the quiver on that side. So I run it on the same side that you would for a normal quiver. And right. I've got a sidebar on to kind of offset that on the bow hand side. And I've been telling people it's the best I've ever shot a hunting bow. After target season, I think I'm shooting my hunting bow better than my target bow, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Let's take a break real quick. Don't forget, if you miss a segment of the show, you can go to the podcast tab at 991fmtalk.com. Or if you're an Apple user, go to the podcast app and search for Nevada Backcountry. Hey, get all your accessories for off-roading at Truck Envy. They're a sponsor of the show. Great group of guys over there. Let's hop right back into it. Speaking of Matthews, they just released a new target bow.
Yeah.
What was that, a couple days ago?
Yeah, about a week ago they did the announcement on it, and it's
Have you seen one of those yet?
I've just seen a couple reviews done online. I haven't been able to shoot one personally yet.
And what's the name is escaping me. Title? The Matthews title.
It's got some really interesting concepts to it. It's got the weighted rear, the weighted bottom end to it so that you don't have to have such a stabilizer or back bar. So they've got some neat stuff. I'm looking forward to trying to shoot one. If the shop here in town ends up acquiring one or something, but they look pretty cool. The reviews are nice. They're insanely proud of it.
What's it ringing in at?
Yep.
$2,299.
Oh, a $2,300 bow.
Yeah, it jumped up about $400 from like the previous years. But it, I mean, it's a completely redesigned system. So,
what are you shooting for a target bow, Hunter?
I've got the TRX 36, another Matthews.
Nice.
Okay, you Matthews. What about the rest of your family? Is it like a family tradition thing? Everybody's running Matthews stuff?
Nope, not at all. I say that, but a lot of us do shoot Matthews. I tell people all the time, it's a Ford Chevy Dodge deal. Go to the shop and shoot them all. Shoot them side by side and see which one feels the best for you and go with it. Because I think they all make phenomenal equipment. You know, there's stuff that just works for other people and stuff that other people just don't like. So every year I make a trip up. I go and shoot them all. My dad and my sister both shoot a Matthews. My brother's got a Prime and a Matthews that kind of, you know, whatever he's feeling like at the moment, he'll shoot. But we've shot Hoyt before. I was shooting Hoyt for a while before I shot a Matthews. I really like this SS-34 from Bowtech.
I love that bow. Love
yeah,
it.
I've got one of those.
Wasn't getting the same results, so the tuning capabilities of that bow are unreal, really cool. So yeah, it's just that's what I feel comfortable with and I'm confident in, so that's what I roll with.
Yeah. I mean, Pete Shepley said this a lot of years ago. He said every bow is made to shoot perfect until you put a person behind it.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think anybody, exactly. I mean, gosh, I don't think anybody's putting out a bad flagship bow anymore.
No.
I will say, and Dave has heard me complain about this a lot, Hunter, so bear with me, but the Hoyt Carbon Defiant Turbo. That was a bad bow. That was just a bad bow.
It's a very aggressive bow. It's a shoulder destroyer.
Yeah, I've got one of those, and I'd say, so what was that, 2017 those came out? So
yeah, 16, 17.
Since then, man, I don't think, yeah, I've got that Bowtech SS-34. I've got the PSE Omen. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a brand loyalist.
Yeah, no, you have the Elite.
Result.
The Result 36.
Although I will say,
and
man.
And the Victory X.
Yeah, the old solid limb elites.
Yeah. I still shoot my tour.
Yeah.
And it's a 2013, the last year they made the tour. And that thing, I mean, I absolutely love that thing.
There's some mojo so well in those old.
Oh.
Yeah, I like those bows.
You know, it's a great bow. I just love it.
When I first decided to make the jump into the target world, I bought a used Elite Victory, I think it was a 39.
Yeah.
And that was an awesome bow. I really like that bow.
They're phenomenal bows.
So anyway, you guys run Fallon Bowman. You run the league out there.
I really like the whole thing about his brothers and their buddy are starting up that outfitting company or group. Are they focusing on any specific animals? Like, you know, they're only going to do deer and elk or something? Or is it just kind of like, you know, bring it all?
Nope, they're running anything and everything. Actually, their first guided hunt as Unbranded Outfitters was the archery deer hunt here in Churchill County. They killed a 15-year-old kid, his first archery buck,
which was
super, super cool. And then I would say their forte has been elk. They're killing some phenomenal bulls, and they're looking for elk all summer long. But their past, when they're guiding for other outfitters the past couple years, a lot of elk hunts, few sheep hunts, a lot of deer hunts. And then in the winter, they're running lion hunts, which the other partner has the lion dogs out of Austin.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So that's going to be a pretty busy gig for them. They've already got clients booked for that, which I want to see more outfitters do.
Oh, absolutely.
Honest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We had, so do you know Sean Shea?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we had Sean on the show, and he was saying it's tough to get lion hunters. Or what he was saying, like, not enough people, because that's his whole thing. That's what he loves doing.
Yeah, that's his right. That's his jam. It's, I think it had to do with, like, people, because he let them know, like, this isn't just sitting somewhere and letting the lion come in. It's, we may catch a lion and it might be a half a mile away in a tree, or it might be 10 miles away in a tree, but we've got to get to it. So I think that deterred
the physicality of
the physicality deterred some folks. So
they ran lions last winter. Not a whole lot of guided lion hunts last winter, more so just to do their part and kill lions. They had hunts that were, you know, they made it to the lion 5 minutes out of the truck and, you know, killed it. Or they had hunts that they were walking all day and never caught up to it. So one of those things that most people I'm willing to bet aren't expecting by, you know, kind of how the way that I guess social media is representing things. But I think it needs to be said that as hunters, we got to start killing more of them because it's getting out of hand.
Yeah, there's absolutely. There's a lot out there. We had one during my sheep hunt. We actually saw it up on the hill and came across a dead sheep that had been killed by the lion.
I'm part of the problem because, I spent one season with a buddy of mine here in town that has hounds and is extremely passionate about it. And I spent that year with him doing that. And I was in phenomenal shape by the end of it. But it was kind of one of those things where it was like, all right, oh, I drew tags the next year. Like, oh, I don't have to go chase cats. I'm going to hunt big game, you know, hunt deer or whatever. And then I don't get out. I don't shoot coyotes. I'm an opportunist when it comes to coyotes. I don't do a lot of predator hunting. So I should probably be better about that, especially being a mule deer guy.
Yeah, I think that's how most hunters are. Lion hunting is not on the front of our thought process every year. And I think there's a lot of people that think they have to book a lion hunt to go try and kill a lion. There's a lot of people that do it for fun. That if you just mention to them, hey, I want to go out and experience, you know, running lions one day or a couple days, you're not going to have to pay for it if you meet the right people.
Right.
I know several people that do it as hobbyists, and you only get, do we still get two lion tags a year if you want them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, two.
So you only get two. If you're a hobbyist, you got to run more than two lions a year for your dog. So.
Yeah, because didn't you have somebody that, where was it, Sean stating something about he had a individual that would do it, you know, was just doing it for anybody because he was trying to just get time on his dogs. He had some new dogs or
I'll have to go back and re-listen to that episode, but that's how I'll give him a plug real quick. A buddy of mine, Jonathan Lesperance, here in Reno.
That's funny. Jonathan's my boss.
John's my buddy. My brother-in-law used to hold. Okay, so do you know Dylan Neubauer?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so Dylan's my brother-in-law. They moved up to Boise. All right. So anyway,
If you guys lived in the South, you'd probably be related.
Yeah, we might be. all right. So yeah. So Jonathan, I spent that season with him, and that's his. I'll get pictures. He'll text me pictures every now and then. And it's like, I wish I had a shooter or something like that. Because he just wants, he's got to get time with the dogs, get them on lions and everything. And half the time he can't find anybody to go with him.
Yeah. He tells me all the time, if you cut a track when you're out, I like to do a little bit of chugger hunting during the winter, and he tells me if you're within reasonable distance from Reno and you cut a track, give me a call because, you know, I can be there in no time at all, and I think that's how a lot of your lion hunters are. They're just wanting to get their dogs on lions.
Do you see his strip buck, John's?
That was an impressive buck. Yeah.
Well, your brother shot a pretty nice one too there.
Oh, yeah. We were just looking at your Instagram page.
Yeah. If anyone's interested, you can get on there on Instagram and go under Unbranded Outfitters. Sage has got a picture there of a 6x4 that he's harvested with. It looks like an old Bowtech Patriot.
Are you looking at Dalton? It's got the split fronts and then a cheater coming off of the, what would be the deer's left.
Yeah. That's Dalton.
Oh, that's
the picture.
Dalton. Okay.
Yeah, he was, that's actually an old Hoyt. I think it was a carbon spider. But that was actually in 7 as well. That was in 20. Oh. That may have been the year we killed our sheep in 2021.
Wow. God, that's a good deer.
That's a fantastic deer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Sage and Dalton are, you know, I give them props all the time because they're, for our age, they're probably some of the better hunters I know. Well, I don't say they're probably. They are some of the better hunters I know. They really get after it, and they've killed some really phenomenal animals the last couple years. And every year they just keep turning up better and better animals.
Hey, cue the music. We got to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Coming up after the break, we'll hop right back into it.